I was travelling through Germany a couple of years ago with my parents, and they were on a really big road trip through Europe. They bought themselves one of those little dash-mounted satellite GPS things. You know, the kind you punch in your destination and it guides you with a little map on the screen. And even voice commands like, turn left in 100 metres or turn right now. It not only stopped us from getting lost or taking the wrong exit on the autobahn, but we didn't have to muck around with paper maps or even argue about where we were. A much more civilised adventure. But how do these devices actually work? Because we're also seeing GPS turning up in mobile phones. What's with that? What exactly is the GPS system that tells the devices we have where in the world we are? Let's ask an expert. Professor Chris Rizos has been working in this field for over 25 years. He's the head of the School of Surveying and Spatial Information Systems at the University of New South Wales.
Well, GPS, the Global Positioning System, is the first of the truly revolutionary space-based or satellite-based positioning and navigation systems. Prior to GPS, there were various other technologies that were used by the military. But this is the first technology that has, over the 30-year period since it was initiated, has evolved into something that now everybody is aware of, and certainly over the last 5 to 10 years, has become aware of as being part of the new mobile phone, handsets, satellite navigation in cars, and this is sort of, if you like, the very public face of GPS. So more than 99% of the users, perhaps 99.9% of the users, are users who've discovered GPS through the devices, such as what they buy for their car or their mobile phone. It's already integrated in these systems. They didn't ask for it. It's there, and it's now being able to be used for a range of applications. You must also remember that 0.1% of the users, going right back for more than 20 years now, have been using GPS successfully for many sort of professional navigation applications and engineering applications.
And also the military as well. Where does GPS come from, and who is currently maintaining the systems underlying it?
GPS is an American system. It's developed, owned, operated, funded by the US Department of Defense. There's no ambiguity there. It's also known as what is called a dual-use technology, that is that although it's funded as a military system, and it's a hugely strategic and tactical technology, like the internet, it would be seen as being something that civilian community is able to use at no cost, that if it wasn't for the military-funded development of this technology, it perhaps would not have been available. So it's US military controlled and operated, and it consists currently of about 31 orbiting satellites at altitude or height above the Earth of about 20,000 kilometres. And these orbit the Earth in such a way that everywhere on the Earth, that's why it's global, 24 hours a day, you will be able to see, or an appropriate receiver will be able to see, at least 4 satellites simultaneously. And when you have at least 4 satellites, you can derive your position and time very accurately.
Well, how accurate is it?
In its most basic form that you would find in a car or in a mobile phone, it's accurate to about 5 meters, perhaps 3 to 5, 3 to 10 meters, at least 99% of the time. Now, in special ways of it being used, it can also get centimeter accuracy. So there are specialist applications where GPS can also get extremely high accuracy, which is valuable for science.
Is it getting more accurate? Is there technology being developed to make it more accurate for people on the ground using it in our sat-navs or in our mobile phones?
Yes. GPS is being modernised from a technology that is fundamentally about 30 years old in terms of the original design of the signal structure and so on. It's modernised so that it will improve its accuracy, and the accuracy probably will come down to about 1 metre. That's sort of the barrier beyond which nature sort of prevents us from sort of getting higher accuracy using the way that it's used in a mobile phone or in a car.
And with more people using it, does this create problems, or is it something like, say, FM or AM radio, where it doesn't matter how many users are receiving, that there's just a big sort of beam or a big sort of pattern put out across the Earth?
It's the latter. It's definitely just a broadcasting system. Every one of the satellites can be viewed as a radio station, and you basically, your receiver tunes in simultaneously to the signals from these different satellites, like different radio channels, and you listen. And that's why it's a military system, because you don't give away where you are when you have to sort of send a message back. It's a listen-only system, so that's why it can also work with low-power batteries, such as you have in your mobile phone, because the signal has to travel more than 20,000 kilometers, so you're just listening to the signal. So GPS cannot track you. The GPS system itself doesn't know where its users are, and there are millions of users now.
But are there any other concerns around access to GPS, reliability of, say, the satellites, or control over this kind of technology?
Well, there are. As a military system, it's not guaranteed, since it's been operating for 30 years. In fact, it's been remarkably reliable. But nevertheless, there are no guarantees. It's used at your own risk. You don't pay, which is, of course, why aviation is reluctant to use GPS without having additional sort of checking processes to make sure that if one of the signals is faulty, that there's an alarm given off inside an aviation receiver that would then prevent, having a false navigation solution. So there are issues about the fact that it's a military system, that it's not designed for giving you 100% reliability. So people are developing or workaround solutions to get improved reliability. It's also vulnerable to jamming or interference. This is a very big concern everywhere in the world, and certainly in the US has identified that as a vulnerability. These signals are very, very weak, and you can very easily jam them. So developing, shall we say, mitigation technologies, better antennas, smarter electronics that would try to, certainly for the military operations, try to prevent jamming, that's also a big issue. But as far as the 99.9% of users, like the mobile phone users or the car nav users, if you have a momentary jamming, accidental or intentional, or a signal is dodgy, you know, it's not really life-threatening. So in that respect, the only concerns might be not so much from the GPS itself, but really whether the coordinates are then sent to somebody else and you've got location privacy issues and so on. But that's sort of a separate issue.
Okay. So what about the satellites and control of them and maintenance and management of that particular system? This is, as we say, something that the Department of Defense in the US looks after. Is this changing? Are we seeing more private or other governments becoming involved in that?
The US in the 1990s dropped the ball in terms of international relations, and they never really recovered. And that is that as the rest of the world became more and more reliant on the use of GPS for civilian applications, we're talking about, the worry that the military, US military, was basically not going to care about civilians, not even in their own countries, let alone outside their countries, has spurred on other countries to develop their own systems. Now, the Russians during the Cold War had developed their own system. It's called GLONASS. You know, it sort of died in the 1990s as the Soviet Union broke up, but it's coming back up to challenge GPS. So it's the second system which will be operational within the next 2 years, fully operational. The Europeans have been trying now for 10 years to put together what they call Galileo, strictly civilian. The justification is that they want it for road tolling, and therefore they need reliable systems. They can't have a foreign country controlling a fundamental technology. And now, most recently, the Chinese are proposing to deploy within the next 4 to 5 years a system called Compass, which again relies on 30 satellites. So we're going to move from GPS only to GPS plus GLONASS plus Galileo plus Compass, like a quadrupling of the number of satellites, within the next 5 years. In addition, this gets even more complicated, countries like India and Japan are going to launch a few satellites, not enough to give them global coverage, but when they're used together with GPS or together with GLONASS or together with Galileo or together with Compass, would give them an enhanced service, perhaps higher accuracy, as well as having control over some of the signals that they're going to be using. So we're moving from a plain vanilla GPS world, which we currently have, to a, shall we say, a multicolored, complex, multilateral world of what we call Global Navigation Satellite Systems, GNSS. So the acronym will go from GPS to GNSS, where GNSS is a sort of the umbrella term for all of the other systems. But we've got to remember GPS is first, and GPS is the gold standard, and GPS is currently the one that we are most exposed to.
Professor Chris Rizos, head of the School of Surveying and Spatial Information Systems at the University of New South Wales. Now, Chris mentioned the use of GPS in mobile phones, which is still actually quite a new thing. But more smartphone handsets have the feature, and with the right software, we can now replicate the turn-by-turn navigation found in GPS units in our cars. And technology journalist Adam Turner has tried a few out, including an application for Apple's new iPhone 3GS.
The iPhone has had GPS built into it since the version that came out last year, but the new software update that's just come out recently allows the iPhone to actually run proper sat-nav turn-by-turn software, such as you'd see on a TomTom or a Navman or something like that. There's one application that's come out so far by a mob called Sygic, S-Y-G-I-C, and I've tested that out, and I found it to be a bit hit and miss. I think the problems are more to do with the actual hardware of the phone than the software. It struggles sometimes to get a GPS lock. It can fall behind. I think the best one that I've actually seen is the Palm Treo Pro. That one seemed to be very good, but the problem with them sometimes is the GPS isn't accurate enough. They can suddenly decide that you're on the wrong side of the road, which means you're heading in the other direction. So you're driving along minding your own business, and suddenly it tells you to do a U-turn because it thinks you're on the other side of the road. Now, if you are paying attention to what's going on, you realize that, and so you ignore the phone, which means it's kind of not really worth having. But if you don't, suddenly you do a U-turn, and then it tells you to do a U-turn again, and then it takes you to take a left, but actually you've already passed that corner, and next thing you know, you're doing laps in the back streets, and it just cannot keep up with you.
And the thing about having one device that does a lot of different things is you've always got it with you. So you can bring it in, pop it on the dashboard, and ta-da, it's your satellite navigation, and take it off again, and it's your internet connection and your normal phone. What happens when the kind of normal functions of the phone start to happen when you're actually driving around? What happens when you get a call coming through or some push notification for your email as well, or the screensaver pops up?
I think you just nailed it right there. That's the problem with some of the phones I found is they'd start to put themselves to sleep because you hadn't touched them for a while, which is not very helpful. The iPhone cannot do two things at once. It's just Apple have designed it that way. So yeah, a call comes in or something like that and you have the problems. The software that's out at the moment does relaunch itself after you've received a call and hung up. The problem is that the software has a little disclaimer that you've got to click accept that says basically, I won't try and drive and use the phone at the same time, and if I kill myself, it's not their fault. And you have to click yes to that disclaimer every time it launches. So you're driving along, a phone call comes in, you're then stabbing at the phone trying to push the button to get the software to start up again, and by doing that whilst driving, you're actually breaking the agreement that you're supposed to be making by pushing the button to say, I won't push buttons while I'm driving.
Oh, it sounds like a bit of a nightmare, I tell you what. But, you know, people are expecting certain things as well in their satellite navigation stuff, things like having street names read out to them and up-to-date traffic information as well. A lot of that is, though, dependent on the kind of maps and the kind of data that the device gets access to, isn't it?
I think it's more the device that's the issue. The maps have to be good, and there's a few map providers, and they generally don't seem to be too bad. I mean, there's a roundabout near my house that's been there for about a year, and I've never found a sat-nav unit that actually knows it's there yet, which is a bit annoying. But with the ability to read out street names, that's more part of the software, and the same with the traffic management stuff. The unit actually has to have the hardware to be able to tap into, I think it's an FM radio stream that gives it that information, and then it can say, well, there's an accident up ahead, and then it might be smart enough to say, well, here's a way to go around it.
This kind of technology is definitely going to be coming to more devices. It's going to be used more often. More people are going to want this kind of technology in their mobile phones, for example. Where are we going with this? What is the ideal world situation in terms of having GPS turn-by-turn navigation in our mobile phones, do you think?
Well, I still think that the ideal situation, if you really are relying on this, is to have a dedicated device, because phones are always going to be limited by the size of the phone, the size of the aerial they can cram in there, the power available to the phone. I'd say it'll be a long time before a phone can really match the power required to do GPS really well. The phone experience seems to be hit and miss, and it's like everything. If you want, you know, a really good DVD recorder, then if you buy one with 50 other features in it, you might find that it's not actually very good at doing what you wanted it to do. Sometimes you're better off, rather than going for the all-in-one, to actually get a dedicated device that does one thing really well.
Technology journalist Adam Turner, well, what do you think? Are dedicated sat-nav devices on the way out to be replaced by similar features on smartphones? Have you used GPS in a smartphone? I'd like to hear your thoughts. Get in touch through the TechStream blog at radioaustralia.net.au. Okay, great American actor Gary Busey, where to next? I'll take the wheel. You can guide me.
Left turn ahead. Watch out for the animals in your area. If you create a roadkill, you are required to stop, pick it up, and eat it. Turn right.